a very small Kyo town, so if he wears it, nobody will know what he is. Say what? Some of the people in the town may say, hey, what are the funny words on your belt there? So in the same way, so people are giving that. So in the end, God recently started dealing with me, and I don't know about you, but he starts dealing with me and he tells me, avoid those things. Now this, I'm only saying personally, not for others. Avoid those things that people can misunderstand. So I have quite a lot of gifts here and there. People give. I have two ballet shoes and these things and that. And I interchange them. So recently the Lord said, I want you to wear shoes two classes down. I don't know whether God speak that way to you or not. My God does. So I say, okay Lord. I say, but these are gifts, so no problem for me. So I pull those two shoes along, put in a plastic bag, look around for people to give. So now they are ending up with somebody somewhere. So that's now their problem. But you discover that there is a psychology in brand names that people have. Even the most expensive t-shirt that people have, in quality, sometimes two classes down, the brand is still as usable. You wash it, the color still comes out. I know it's by personal experience. I was given one and we threw it in the washing machine and it didn't work as well as the $30 one. And I heard that the other one was about $100 and we threw it in and all my other shirts turned red. We pull it out and we say, what kind of t-shirt is this? Look at it, YSL. Say, better give it away. Not only that, people will think you smoke cigarettes. Right. So, but I'm just illustrating. Now, some of you tonight are feeling a bit queer because you could be wearing those brands, right? I'm not talking about you, right? So, I'm just talking about how God deals with us. That sometimes he speaks to us and he tells us, hey, avoid those things. It's for us, sometimes God deals with our attachment in this world. Perhaps you cannot do without coffee. Every day, sharp 11 must have one. I can assure you, God will deal with your coffee. He is a powerful God. He cares about your coffee. And He won't let you go. He will deal with you until you're able to say, alright, I won't touch it anymore. Is this good? Then after 1 year, you say, well, I think you can have one once in a while. But what is God doing in our life? Some young people cannot do without Coke. No Coke, no life. Kenneth Hagin at one time found he was almost addicted to Coke in one of his little tapes. And he mentioned how every time he starts drinking, then he realized, hey, you know, he's getting into a rut where if he can't have it, he feels a little uncomfortable. And God, the Holy Spirit, says, cut it out. Now, don't misunderstand me. All those brands that I name, all those things that I mention, right? These are subjective. I repeat the word, subjective. Right? In case some of you are selling belly shoes. Or some of you are dealing with coffee powder or something. What we are talking about is that neither are we advocating a thou shall not. Please don't misunderstand. We are not saying thou shall not wear this, thou shall not have that. But it's that sometimes in our inner self, in our inner soul, we have a certain attachment in certain things that begin to draw us into the world. And once in a while, because as long as you're in this world, there will be pruning. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 1, that He is the vine, we are the branches, in verse 1 to 5. And He says, those who do not abide in Him, He takes away. Those who abide in Him, He prunes. Why must he prune? As long as we are in this world, we have to get used to the cutting of God in our life, so that once in a while you're getting too used to the things in this world, God will say, get out of this area and begin to move in the area, so that we will not be too attached to this world. So that we have a sense of liberty that comes to us. And that's what we are saying, that it's in the small things that we slowly drawn into the world. I watch it many, many times. In fact, I had to counsel one minister who started as one of the most spiritual people I know. But slowly, as God prospered the ministry and blessed that minister, the minister began to spend more and more time in the things of this world. And slowly, after some time, he became more and more involved, until the minister doesn't have as much time with God as he normally had before. God bless that minister with a house, God bless that minister with provisions, etc. And then after some time, the minister began to get involved in those things, and in the end, the minister finally left the ministry, went into the world, and want to seek to build a financial empire. This not only refers to ministers, Christians. A lot of Christians, they start in life as friends, and they are easygoing, and they love the Lord. They have a lot of time in the Word, and they pray. They're always there in every prayer meeting. Then they begin to taste success. They begin to have one successful company. Then they begin to spread 3-4 companies. Then they begin to build more. The empire grows big, and they also grow big, and everything grows big, and then after a while, they are no more in the prayer meetings. They are no more in the Word, and not only that, they are no more reachable. You cannot talk to them equal level. You got to shake hands down this way, because they are sitting on the higher chair now. Hello there. Last time it was hello here. And one day, when it all ends, when this life ends, when we get over the other life, there may be great regrets. Just like Howard Pickman, the man who wrote Demons and Eyewitnesses. He was a successful man. He had everything in life. And then when he died once, and he met Jesus Christ, and he has been reasonably active as a Christian. When he faced the Lord Jesus, and Jesus judged him, everything that he showed before Jesus was burned up, and all he had was himself left. And you could see the eyes of Jesus, and Jesus said, I'll give you one more chance. And Jesus sent him back. He came back, and God also showed him the demon world, and he realized that just being successful in this world doesn't guarantee success in God. But success in God does speak first the kingdom of God, and all these things do add to you. But do not get complacent because you have got all your needs met. You have got everything that you need. You enter the promised land. And do you know the reason for the fall of the Israelites? Many people don't fall in the hard times. They fall in the good times. There are some who fall in the bad times. I mean, when the strong people, in the bad times, they hold to the principle, they struggle. The fall in the Bible did not come in the bad times, it came in the good times. The Israelites never forgot God when they were in trouble. They only forgot the Lord when they were happy, successful, prosperous, and every need was met. David never forgot God throughout his early life. But when David was successful and prosperous, and he had fought every war and won, That was when he fell into adultery. So we must remember that all these judgments that came on the Israelite came, as it says here, everything has been carnalized. The prophets, divine, the priests teach for pay, and the heads judge for a bribe. So in those days, in Jeremiah, in Isaiah and in Micah's time, if you knew that someone had an anointing to be a prophet from the schools of prophets, and you go to them and say, could you ask God for me, since in those days only the prophets, priests and kings have the anointing, the common people didn't have, not like today. Today you don't have to seek direction from prophets, you could pray and get it yourself. But in those days they come to the prophet to seek direction, and then they say, prophet, could you seek God in this matter for me? And the prophet say, how much? You want a $50 prophecy or $1,000 prophecy? So the people got discouraged, they go to the priest. So they go to the priest and say, please help me. The prophet don't know what's wrong with him, but can you help me? And can you tell me something, what the word say? The priest say, do you want the $2 word or the $2,000 word? So the poor citizen, he runs to the judge and he say, can you help me? You know, I have a case against this priest who tried to con me. And the judge says, for normal help is $50, extra help is another $1,000 surcharge. The people got nowhere to run. All the people who had the anointing were carnal. Now, this is a true incident. It's one of my close friends. And about, when was that? That was about 1983. He went to this international convention. All the big names were there. It was in another country. And he was in a medical line. And so he was sincere. He's hungry for God. And as he was there, he attended the whole conference, and he always went hungry for God. He wants one of the men of God to pray for him. So he seek to get to the man of God. And each of the men of God got all these people around, and they cannot get near. And so he say, hey, I want him to pray for me. I want to talk to this person. And he could not get near. Then towards the end of the conference, out of his good heart, he was blessed, and he was really touched by God. And so he had a $1,000 offering to give, and he wanted to give to a specific minister. So he approached one of them, who is a big name. He has many books in bookstore, and he says, I got this offering I want to give. The moment the person saw the offering, the person took him and introduced him to the big man and say, hey, this brother here has given this offering. That brother came back and told me he was disgusted, all because of that $1,000 note. He got an audience when he didn't really want an audience. He just wanted to give an offering. But when there was no money, there was no audience. That is the state of affairs in our churches today in the world. And only recently I came across two ministers, because we fellowship, we help people around. Two ministers, and the people who were involved came to me and say, come, could you help me? One minister took the car and borrowed $2,000 and ran away. And it's still happening. And over the other side, the testimony can be, bless God, someone bless me with a car. Someone didn't bless, he stole it. And I want you to know, that's the state of affairs. And if today you go to the average church, you write a big check, and you see whether the minister give you more attention or not. And I want you to know, although many people who are rich like the attention, but if you really want a true man or a woman of God, they will not treat you the same or different, whether you have 1 cent or you have $10,000. Because if you really want to go to a place, let's talk to those who have lots of money first and those who don't have money. If you really have lots of money, then what you need is spirituality. And if you go to a place that will only give you attention because of your status, because of your money, that area there and that place there is not going to make you more spiritual. You're just going to run that place and that person like the way you run your own company. In the end, you don't contact God.